I had a couple of weekends off. Just got excited. It's okay. Everything's good. How was everybody this morning? Yeah. Got some Ric Flairs in here? Where y'all at? Come on, let's. Man. I think when you get to heaven, now you want to see Jesus. First thing you want to do is take a look at him. He's a big deal. All right? That's the first thing you want to do when you get there. After that, you can strut all the way to your mansion, okay? You strut all the way there. Man. And it ain't no put on neither. It ain't no put on. Anybody in here saved? Going to heaven when you die? I got some saved people. Got some saved people up in here. If you ain't, we can fix it. Whoo, got it on me right now. Who is it? I don't mean to embarrass you. Let's all just pray this, everybody. Glory to God, man. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says, if I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, I will be saved. I do right now believe and I say that Jesus is Lord of my life. Heaven is my home and I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. He want to take us all. He want to take us all. He don't want to leave nobody behind. He don't want to leave nobody behind. He wants to take us all. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! I don't know why I'm so excited this morning. Hallelujah. I'm not alone. I don't have to walk it alone. I don't have to do it alone. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. I don't care what you're going through today. I don't care what's coming at you today. I don't care what you're looking at today. You are not going through it alone. He is with you. 100%, 110%, 1,010. I heard that one the other day. I'm gonna do it 1,010%, Greg. I said that's a lot. 1,010%, that's a lot. He is with you 100%. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Whoo, golly. He is with you. He is in. And he is for you. He don't want you to fail. He doesn't want you to come up short. He doesn't want you to look silly or stupid. He don't want you to be embarrassed at all. He wants you to shine as you're supposed to shine, like a candle, huh? On a lampstand that's just supposed to shine. Don't put no basket over it. Let it shine. Let it shine. Glory to God. I am not alone. It's moving day, everybody. Y'all ready for moving day? I know Miss Jessica is. She's already left. She's already got started. She's so pumped up and excited. I told her to have it ready by December 2027. I didn't tell her that. We agreed upon that. She's ready now, and she's in there working. That's the reason why I was ready. Her and Chris have put their hands on that food pantry every day. I've watched it. They've been down there every day. And here's the deal. I know them to be people of integrity, and they're not looking for that. What they're doing is they're doing it for God. They're doing for His glory 1,010%. 1,010%, they're doing it for His glory and His honor. They don't even look for any accolades. They don't want nobody to say nothing. Half the time, they ain't even telling y'all they're up there working. Because they're not looking for that. They're looking for God's glory. Amen. I'm excited. I'm going to eat today, too. We got some food, right? Chris is cooking. Chris is going to cook some pot roast and some taters. No, not today. Anyway, I'm glad y'all are here on moving day. Please stay if you can. We are feeding everybody. Food is not free, but it is paid for. And we'll be serving that up. So whenever we finish up here, I even brought a change of clothes because I know if I leave, I will not come back. So I brought a change of clothes to make sure that I hung around for the day. So y'all hang around for a day. It'll be a lot of fun. You know, it's not going to be like, oh, we've got to move everything. No, it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have a good time. Amen. And speaking of fun and having a good time, how about a joke or two? I watched on Facebook, we had Joel on there from last week. Y'all give it up for... Yeah, I know. I got that. The sentiment that I got from the Facebook, was that my jokes were just not good enough. Amen. Yeah, and that his jokes were way better than mine. So I'm gonna read some really poor ones today. Yeah, absolutely. It is punishment. Where do you learn to make a banana split? Sunday school. Yeah. How can you tell if a tree is a dogwood tree, Joel? By its bark. You didn't know that one? Yeah, thank you. And the last but not the least, this is one of my favorite. What has more letters than the alphabet? A post office. Joel Gray, ladies and gentlemen. I can't even get his name out. So the last time I think I preached was on Easter, huh? Yeah, took a couple weeks off. And I want to double back. We do have a place where we're going to land. We have a place we're going to. I don't know if we'll get there today because I don't want to just wear us out today. That's it. But we're gonna be going some places over the next few weeks, in places in the Word, some things that I feel like the Holy Ghost is wanting to reveal and to bring out to us. And so to get there, I'm gonna kind of double back a little bit, and I'm gonna talk about Mary, where she said, "Whatever He tells you to do, you do that." And we all remember what was the commandment that Jesus gave to us and His disciples. Do we remember what that is? Love one another as I have loved you. As I've loved you, I want you to love one another. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another, right? And so He gave us a commandment, and Paul brings out in the epistles later on, or it may have been Peter, I think Peter said this, that love is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament commands. So if you want to do all 10 of the Old Testament commandments, which most people can't name them, I would challenge you right now in your head to at least get 5. You know, if you're getting 5, you're pretty good. Most people can only get about 3 or 4. It's about it. It's like, and then they go to, you know, an apple a day to keep the doctor away. I mean, they start saying stuff that's not in there, you know, but most people can't name them. But Peter said that if you walk in love, if you touch the love commandment, then you fulfilled the Old Testament law. Because Jesus came to fulfill that law for us. We were not able to do it. That's the whole deal in this. The reason why the Ten Commandments were delivered were not as a ticket and a checklist for you to go down to make sure that you were good enough for God. It was there to expose to you that you can't do it alone. That's why the Ten Commandments is there. And then the Levitical, you know, the Levitical law came in, and they had another 100 and something that they put together on, you know, you don't eat pig and don't eat a hoofed animal, and you got to pray this way and do this and do that. All of that stuff gets fulfilled through the work that Jesus did. He did all of that for us on our behalf. The propitiation for all of that was delivered through and by Him. He was the perfect Lamb of God who fulfilled all of the Old Testament. Then what He said while He was here, the one thing that I'm telling you to do, I'm going to fulfill all that. I got all that. All that's there. The one thing that I'm telling you to do is that you love one another. Do that. If you do that, all this that I took care of is yours. It's all fulfilled through one law and one law only, the law of love. It kind of reminds me, for those of you that hadn't been here before or over the last however many months I've been talking about love, it's kind of reminiscent of the Garden of Eden. God said, "Hey, Adam, you can eat of anything in here except that one tree." Right? And now it's kind of reversed a little bit. Look, you ain't got to worry about all that. Just do this one thing. And yet we still struggle as human beings to do the one thing that God told us to do, which is walk in love. Amen? So we're going to back up and take a look at love. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. You don't want to be there, Lord? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll do that. We'll start at verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, it does not parade itself, and it's not puffed up. And not only is this the way that we are to act, but this is the way that God treats us. I said a few weeks ago that love was not only a command, but it's a response. It's not a feeling. Can you feel the love tonight? Y'all know that one? Yeah. This ain't that kind of love. We ain't trying to feel this love. We're trying to do this love. This ain't a feeling. It's more than a feeling. More than a feeling. Love, verse 5, does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked, and it thinks no evil, which means to keep an account of a suffered wrong. I'll forgive him, but I ain't going to forget. Well, Bubba, you kind of stuck because love forgets. I mean, if you take a look at God, not only does he forgive you of your sin, but he releases you from all of it. He removes the memory of it. It doesn't even exist in his mind. Lord, forgive me for that sin that you already forgave me of. What sin that I already forgave you of? I don't even recognize the sin anymore because he says he will move it as far from you as the east is from the west, which is infinite. Never stop going east. You will never hit west. If you go east, you'll never hit west. Amen. Verse 6, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love will bear all things, believe all things, and hope all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail, and whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away those childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. So what it's saying here is that love can endure an awful lot of stuff. We only know a little bit, just a little bit. There will come a day where we will know it all and we'll have the fullness of what God's word is revealing to us and we'll have an extension of knowledge that will take an eternity to process. Are y'all with me? That will happen. That now we see a little dim, but at some point, you know, we're going to go to heaven or whatever. Whatever happens, whatever you believe may happen, at some point some Windex is going to be sprayed on your mirror and you're going to be able to see clearly. Amen? I don't want to get into separations there. Where I want to go, though, is verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is what? Love. And I know I've talked about it before, but we're going to go into a little bit more detail today. We're to abide in three things. To abide means to live. To rest, to stay, to be in. To be in a state of being in these things. These things are faith, hope, and love. Now, for those of you that don't know, hope is actually not a wish. In modern vernacular, we use hope as if it were a wish. Do you think so-and-so is going to happen? Well, I sure hope so. I sure hope so. That's not what the biblical word hope that's translated in hope actually means. The word actually means to have an expectation of a thing. You have an expectation of it. So if you're expecting a thing to happen, it's not necessarily a wish. It's no longer in the realm of I sure hope so. It's in the realm of when. Are y'all with me? It's not, this is not talking about I sure hope it comes to pass. This is talking about the mindset of when is this thing going to come to pass? So I'll tell you something. We do this a lot on the negative side of things. When it comes to fear and failure, we will have hope in those areas way more than we have hope in God. We will say that we expect bad things to happen. I wonder when it's going to get that bad. Is it just me? Don't we have a, we do mental exercises whenever we start thinking about, you know, maybe things are not going too great, and we'll do a mental exercise where we create a situation to where it gets to the worst of the worst of the worst. And then we start thinking about how long it's going to be before that thing manifests itself in our lives. We do this constantly. And then we have that whole opportunity where we say, well, see, I told you so. I told you it was going to be that way. That's what I said. I said it was going to get bad, and it got bad. Or is it just me? Does anybody else do this? So we practice hope on a constant basis. We just use it towards the negative. We don't practice hope towards the positive. Hope is real simple. Hope is a vision. It's a vision. It's an expectancy of something that will happen because we are convinced of something that is 100% true. Case in point, my children, years ago, Daddy said, we're going to Disney World. Do you know what they did? They started to get clothes to wear to Disney World. They put a little fund together, saving their money for Disney World. Disney World money. Whenever they asked, when their friends asked, hey, where are y'all going on vacation? We're going to Disney World because Daddy said so. Right? Are y'all with me? Angel bought t-shirts. We all had matching t-shirts. Everybody with his big Mickey Mouse on the front. Everybody. We bought t-shirts. We was ready to go. All that. Guess what? Daddy ain't paid for nothing. Daddy ain't paid for no trip. Are y'all with me? But I said we're going. And simply because I said we're going, it created a vision and a hope in them because they know that their daddy is not going to lie. He is going to tell them the truth. There is no way that Gregory Lee is going to tell his children that they're going to a place that they're not going to. He's just not going to do that. I wasn't raised that way. I was raised that you be honest and upfront and straightforward as best as you possibly can without hurting people's feelings. Now, Joel will hurt your feelings. I won't hurt your feelings. Joel's going to hurt your feelings. I'm going to be like, You know? If I get to going, yeah, maybes, and I put my hand in my pocket and I step back a little bit, it's just because I just don't want to hurt your feelings. I just don't want to do that. He's lying. Y'all don't trust him at all. So my children created a vision in their brain. And in that vision was hope because they were convinced that Daddy told the truth. And since Daddy told the truth, it's not a question of if we're going to Disney World. It's now a question of when. That is hope. And we are to abide in that. Your father has given you 66 books of what he will and will not do. Daddy said all 66 books of this. He said it all, and he meant every word of it, so much so that heaven and earth will pass away, but this thing right here will last forever. Everything else may fall apart, but this won't. So, this has the capability of producing a vision in you. In fact, Habakkuk told us, I'm playing. There are some people, though, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be like, dude, say your name for me, please. You know, because you hear it three or four different ways, and you can ask one seminary, and they say it one way, and then you ask another seminary, they say it another way, and then you go to another country, and it sounds different. You go to the country of origin, it don't sound anything like we say it here. Dude, tell me how to say your name, please. Habakkuk. He said to write the vision and make it plain so that he who reads may run with it. That's in here. That's in your Bible. Your Bible says to take the vision that's been placed on the inside of you. It's called an imagination on purpose. Y'all know that, right? You have an imagination on purpose. God gave you that on purpose so you could imagine, which is simply getting the image in. If you imagine a thing, you get the image of that thing. wants us to be able to create in us an image of His goodness coming to pass in our life. And He gives us and delivers something to us that is so true that everything else in the universe could fall apart before this does. It's so true that He gives it to us and He says, look, I want you to be convinced that I will do what I say I do. Now allow the image of that to get in you so I can produce hope. And that hope is an expectancy. An expectancy. That God is going to move like never before. God is going to do what God said He was going to do. It's always going to be the same. Hope, y'all. He is called the God of all hope in Romans. Paul called Him in Romans the God of all. It might be verse, chapter 5, 8, somewhere in there. Not 8. It's not in 8. I know that. Can't remember what chapter is in. But He called Himself the God of all hope. In us, these visions, these hopes, these dreams. And He wants us to have them and get the image of that thing in us so that we can enter into a full state of expectancy. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us what? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now abide in these three things, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, which we will get to. But hope has to have a vehicle to make its way here. It's a vision. It's an image that is placed on the inside of us that we create in our mind. We start to see ourselves walking and talking and doing and kissing and walking in and driving and spending. Whatever that thing is that's been placed on the inside of us, we see it in us and we have that imagination working and it creates this hope out there. But that hope has got to have a vehicle to become now. I want it now. I got to have it now. Can't go to Disney World till I get to Disney World. Got to get there. How we get there? The vehicle to get us to the vision is called faith. Now faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. It is the substance to the things that we are expecting because we are convinced of something that God told us, which is true. Does this make it sense? And not only is it the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things that we cannot see. Because the Bible tells us also in Romans, why would somebody hope for something that they can see? If you can see it and it's in front of you and it's with you and it's present and it's manifested, you no longer hope for it anymore. There's no need for faith because the vehicle has already brought it to you. Are y'all with me? Now abide in faith, hope. You have to abide in these things. If we don't live in this state of expecting something good and letting our faith, which is the evidence of that good thing to come to pass, if we don't allow that to operate and abide in our lives, we're missing the point. I'll say it again. I'll say it even further. We're missing the point. Because God's love and the love that He's asking us to walk in is to fuel all of this. Charles, if you would, y'all hit the lights for me in the back, please. I have a video I'd like to share with you today. It's a great movie. You got to turn it up.
Charles, see if you can figure out what's wrong with this thing. It won't crank up and everything seems to be put together, right? Till I see you. Okay, stop back by. Don't worry about your boy. He's doing good.
Ain't got no gas in it.
You see there, Scooter? Things are the simplest things first.
Do I need to preach anymore? Trying to get to Alabama. Sometimes we sit back and we look at our vision, our hope, and we look at our faith, and we're doing everything we know to do in faith, which we will get into the dynamics and the working of our faith and how faith works and what it is and all the things. But at the end of the day, the greatest of these is love. Why? Because it's the gas that makes the lawnmower go. and we look around and can't figure out why things are not the way that we want them and expect them to be, and we want to blame God. We want to blame Him because the motor won't crank. And so we bring the motor to the mechanic, to the pastor, bring it up to the church. Help me. And I'm not being ugly here, anything of that nature. I'm just saying this is what we do. And we won't help. And we will deliver help. The church is here to serve you. That is what we do here. I don't know what other churches do. That's our point of existence, is to serve you as best as we possibly can, to be there when you need us to be there, to pray when you need us to pray, to help when you need help. All of the things. We're here to serve. I'm the number one servant in the building. That's what I do. I serve. I have help because can't do it all. And Joel ain't going to help at all, so I got to get other help, you know? We're here to serve you, to help you obtain. But we have this tendency to come in here and we can't figure out why the lawnmower won't crank and we ain't even checked the gas. We hadn't even looked at the gas. We haven't looked at our heart. It says to abide, faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why? Because love is the fuel that makes the whole thing happen. Romans chapter 5 says, hope will not disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. That's what your Bible says. Your Bible says that your hope is not going to disappoint because of love. Love is the key that opens up every miracle and every word that God has spoken to you and makes it manifest in your life. If you're not walking in love, your tractor ain't going to crank, things ain't going to work out, and you're going to be coming up in here wanting us to pray for you, and I'm going to sit back and go, well, how's your love walk doing? Yeah. You've been hollering at people? You've been flipping people off on the interstate? Have you smiled at Walmart this week? It's simple things, and love is nothing more than our response to the society in which God has put us. God has placed us in this society to respond the way that heaven responds. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? As it is in. How does that happen? With our response in this world. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the connector between what heaven has and what the earth is looking for. We are where the miracle happens. It happens with us. Now, are we miracle producers? No! I can't do a thing. I can't do nothing. I'll promise y'all that. I've talked about it before. Chris has been around me, Chris Lewis, and Joel been around me, Stephen, Matthew, all those guys, they'll tell you real quick, Greg Lee don't know how to do nothing. Supervise, yes. Yeah, Mo said I supervise. That's right, I'm a good supervisor. That's about it. Can't do much more. I am useless. You know, there's different sayings on how useless I am, and I'm not going to say them in church because they're ugly. But it's the truth. That's Greg. When you hear those sayings like, man, that's just as useless as a blank and a blank. You know, that's Greg right there. My point being, though, we are not the producers of the miracle, but it's not going to happen unless we are present. Our responses to this world brings heaven here. We know how heaven is. We can read it. It's kind of confusing. If you go to Revelation, it could be a little confusing. You can get a little caught up in some of the imagery and, you know, well, why is there a lady riding on a dragon, you know? Right? We get caught up in the little details. But we have a general idea of what heaven is like. We all want to go there. We know it so well that we'd rather go there. Right? So we want to go do that. The presence of that thing, Jesus prayed that thing, heaven, would make its way here. And it does it through and by us. That's why Paul is telling us here that we need to abide in faith, hope, and love. Because through faith, hope, and love, these three, and using the greatest of these, love, we're bringing heaven on earth. Whether it's heaven for us or heaven for others. Just the simple fact that we're here Just the simple fact that we're here exposes a light to this world. Don't hold back your light because you're so mad at somebody that somebody did something to you a little while back. Don't hold on to some kind of suffered wrong or something that someone's done to you in times past and keep your light from being shown properly. Don't get so caught up in making sure that you get minds. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Get minds that you stop the flow of a miracle in your life. Put some gas in the lawnmower so it will crank. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that today's going to be a good day. We're excited, Father, about the opportunity to put gas in the motor. We're going to walk in love. We're going to show love. We're going to do love. We're going to be love and watch miracles happen all around us. Father, help us to respond properly in this world. We want to see heaven on earth for sure. We also ask you, Lord, to bless this food that we're going to eat. Let it nourish our bodies and our bodies to your service. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody agree with that. Say what? Amen. Have a good day.